Hello again, everyone. Thank you for continuing to listen to our show. I'm Nick Tishwa. For this podcast, I speak with Latini Madakpa Rinpoche, and I get the opportunity to ask a few questions that hopefully some of you will find helpful. I was certainly able to show off my ignorance more than once during this episode, so don't listen to what I'm saying, but Rinpoche's responses might help in clarifying some things for other people that are new to this with similar misunderstandings. I'd like to remind everyone about events Yuru has coming up. Geshe Kenpo Tendar will be here this week. He's teaching Tingwa, or Mala, practice on Tuesday night. There's still space open for that, and there will be a live stream to check out. Then next weekend, from the 16th to the 18th, he'll be giving a teaching titled How Do We Transform Our Ordinary Mind into the Mind of Enlightenment, which is a teaching on the Four Measureless Practice. This is especially auspicious for those of us taking Rinpoche's online Ati Dzogchen Nundro course, as we're practicing Semkid this month. Then Geshe Nyima Kunchap Rinpoche is going to Los Angeles on October 23rd for the Ocean of Milk ceremony. This is both a ceremony as well as an instruction on aspects of the practice. I was lucky enough to attend while he gave this teaching and transmission in Minneapolis, and it was awesome. Everyone in California is really in for a treat with this one. Again, that's October 23rd, and you can read more and register at yurubonecenter.org. On another note, as is mentioned in this episode, Rinpoche has gone back to Menri for some time to help serve His Holiness, but he will be coming back to us soon enough. For now, let's listen as he shares his knowledge. Please welcome Latini Madakpa Rinpoche. Thank you for being here again and speaking with me. I know you're headed back to Menri soon, and so it's great to get to talk to you again before you leave. Could you maybe just make, I know you sent out a letter, but maybe you could make a brief statement about going back to Menri?
Yes. Good morning, everyone. So the reason why I have to go back to Menri at this point is that now every one of you may be aware of that. You know, His Holiness Menri Tenzin Rinpoche has some health issues. So therefore, I am going back to serve him or be assisting with him nearby, and so in when he needs. So that is the main my reason. So we just recently found out. So therefore, I have to go back to India for that reason.
Okay, thank you. I have several questions that I've you know, been meaning to ask you about. There are a lot of new people coming into the temple space and into these sanghas, and I feel like there is some etiquette and ways of being in these places that many Westerners aren't aware of. For example, you don't want to wear hats in the temple area. Maybe you could tell people some other etiquette that they may not be aware of or that you've noticed people doing that they shouldn't be.
Yes, good question. You see, here now in the West, when we say center, that means sort of like very much for us, in the, according to the environment and circumstances, is very much like a temple. And in the center, there is a shrine room. And if the bigger, there may be have separate, we call it temple. But either way, the shrine or the temple, according to the size of the sangha or community there, it's equally the same purpose. It depends the larger community or the smaller or whatever, that is the only difference. So the temple is a place where you should connect to yourself. One thing, when you are very disturbed emotionally and some other reasons of day, everyday life that are going on, or any other reasons of the day-to-day sort of like business. When you are not able to peace and calm yourself, that is the place where you should focus and think. Because the temple is the place where everybody sort of truly from your heart, we pray, we meditate, and all the images that you can see here, the images of the enlightened ones, that all the different deities, and the Dambasherab, Chama, the enlightened ones, and compassionate ones, and the protector ones, and the great yogis and the spiritual masters, their image, and all these thangas are representing all those sort. And then every day we make an offering at altar to those three jewels, that is Kuncho Sum, that who we take refuge and who we pray every day like taking refuge in order to receive, and many others, lamas and masters and practitioners who have been blessed, sort of consecrated the place and has been built up with certain way that is meant to be for example, the coloring the temple inside, decoration inside, interior design according to. So this all actually connecting to with the concept to balancing the energy, because whole universe is based on the energy. So if we don't have a positive energy, good energy, it makes you lacking certain points here and there. So the five element. Likewise, the temple is also in a way that it is being decorated, it is being designed. It is also mainly concept that is being balancing the energy elements, five elements. So likewise, prayers, meditation, consecration, balancing energy, all sort of that you feel, and you will feel that when you get into it, even if there's no one, you immediately feel such a quiet, peace, and those things, you know. So therefore, temple is a very holy place, important place, the source of energy of your inner self, and to connect the peace. So it's important that people need to respect, you know. If it is possible, you make one incense, stick of incense, or one butter lamp, and make small offerings when you come to expect something. So traditionally, we just don't go and get it. Take it and you don't feedback. It is not the Buddha ask. It's ourselves. Accumulation of merit is very important part of ourself to clearing all those disturbances physically and mentally. So when you go there in Tibet, like example, everybody when we call Chönjal, means blessing and connecting through making offerings. So we make three prostration very beginning when you get into and open the door and get into the temple. Immediately you get in, you sort of physically bow and respect, and then settle your mind in peace and connect that environment of quietness, silence, of deep relaxation. Then you make a three prostration with a scarf or piece of flower. You go and make offer that to the altar. And always there is a place where you contribute, donation box or donation on the throne or donation on the altar. That's something you make offering, and then you ask, sort of seeking a blessing. So that is one thing. And then yes, in temple, we don't go wearing hairs and having with the weapons like a knife or guns like that. And then also, while in Tibet, we are very aware culturally, but in the West, sometimes people are more, they call independent, freedom. So sometimes people come almost like, naked. You're not naked, but ladies comes with not enough cloth. We don't do that very much. You put something on you, that is respect. This is not place for those type of yourself to show. That's a place to respect and to receive your inner soul, your inner peace, to the peace you arrive, and then the blessings from. And that is why you don't eat in the temple. You don't speak very loudly. These things are need to be respected. And you don't come with the shoes wearing in the temple. Most of the temple, they have inner slippers that you go in, that is used only in the temple so that your feet, if you concern of clean and socks clean, you wear that sort of slipper,
yeah,
but not shoes that you use outside.
Right.
So there are many things that, of course, you don't smoke in the temple. So there are many things that you need to be respected and be. And that way you come, meditate, 5-10 minutes, hours, do prayer, you can go. So that is the way you kind of reconnect to your inner self.
Okay, thank you. So in Bun and Tibetan Buddhism, there is a much greater focus on a lama and a teacher. Could you explain maybe that difference to other forms of Buddhism and other teachings?
I think very much in Tibet, Tibetan tradition, both Buddhist and Yung Rungpo, Eternal Burn, the concept and the philosophy of that particular topic you are talking about, the teacher or the Rinpoche, that you are spiritual teacher, it's very, very highly respected. It's not because of, it's sort of like a protocol you have to do. It is, if you think, we all have going through a lot of struggles. I'm talking about from the spiritual point of view and then in a secular point of view as well. The spiritual point of view, when you are helpless, who you think about? When you are in certain state of your everyday life, it's in trouble or it's stuck in, who you think most when you go beyond the ability of our everyday ability? You have only reason, if you are believing in the, if you are a Christian or Catholic, you believe on God. If it is a Hindu, they believe God but different Shiva or Hindu gods. And a Buddhist and a Burn, we believe on enlightened ones, the Buddhas. That is now, even you say, oh, I don't believe on in the usual day, but when you are in strictly and seriously in a problem, so when you have said, maybe they, if there is something now should help, like you are doing very favor to them, in real you are helpless and you are kind of no choice. Mm-hmm. In that sense of like that, for example, once we are born, we are born with cause and conditions. And then we as a human being, we are sort of born with the five elements, which is the seed and the gross level of our very visibly, our physical body and mental are based on the combined energy of these five poisons, five elements, and then five lights more going into, and so forth. In order to relieve and free from your mental problem, struggle, stress, emotional and physical, which is beyond your ability of everyday and gross level, you think about according to your believing system, tradition you belong to, connected to. So as a Burn, we believe on three jewels. But Buddha, three jewels, the first one is Buddha, enlightened one, Sangye we call it, enlightened one, which we don't have capacity to meet them physically as we do now. And the second three jewels is his word and speech. That we have opportunity to meet that voice meaning and essence. Third, Sempa, the compassionate and warm-hearted realized beings and who believe on the cause and karma, who believe on this energy and blessing. In order to make that understand, when you are thinking, might be something I can get help. So Buddha is no way that our age have an opportunity to see the physical. So, but still, we can directly get benefited by his words, his speech, his message. that message itself, the text and the teaching itself, will not speak you directly. So only possibility is through master, through your teacher, who is interpreting you the meaning of the what Buddha's message is about, how to implement that in our everyday life, especially how to benefit by applying that meaning in your current situation of the your particular problem to overcome, and larger, to free from this suffering forever, making understanding how to apply. This is only through teacher. So teacher in a real sense, for us individual of this age people, more than the Buddha, the teacher is the one more important, and kindness, precious. Because if we get any benefit from the teaching to overcoming our emotional everyday suffering, everyday pain, everyday unhappiness, everyday struggle mentally and physically, through the Buddha's teaching. That Buddha's teaching is only we could make it understand through master, through teacher, your Rinpoche, your root teacher. So for us, he is the one sort of a link between the enlightened one and this current cyclic existence where you are now. Korva. In Sanskrit they call samsara. Enlightened one, sangye, nyang deva, nyang de. Sang means nyang de, free from all sufferings. Enlightened one, in Sanskrit they call the nirvana. So korva and nyang de, korva and sangye, the link yourself from korva to link to the sangye is only through master. So how much that could be valuable in your life once you are able to free total from the suffering. And that important person in your life, he plays the role, the teacher. So then, even in physical, everyday, grosser and material level, if some person were being helpful and generous enough, kind, to get you help temporarily in material level, how much you would appreciate, how much you would thank them, how much you would respect them, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So here the teacher is much far beyond, is not only materially and temporarily helping you to get out of your stress, get out of your confusion, get out of your sorrow, but he is showing you path which forever you will be free from this kind of issues and problem. So therefore, how you value the teacher, it is important who show you the true enlightened quality in you, within yourself, which you have never able to understood and seen before until the teacher has been taught. So that is way the teacher's each and every word is none other than the Buddha's message. Teacher's physical appearance is like us ordinary being, but none other than the symbol manifestation of Buddha's. The teacher's heart and warm, compassionate, none other than Buddha's compassionate manifest. So we look our root teacher in the form of body speech, his body, his speech, his mind. It's none other than Buddha. Truly you devoted like that, you connect to that way, you benefit that way accordingly. So that is way teacher are so important and very, very, very important and valuable in our everyday life.
Well, thank you. Maybe this can kind of, you talked about, you know, the teacher and then you have the deity. Maybe you could talk a little bit more about the three bodies in relation to the three worlds. Is that?
Yeah, it is actually, you know, again, it is going to, the talking about the details, the different stage of different realms we're talking about. It's all connected with the cosmos, you know, when we talk different realms. But the three world you're talking about, the desire realm, and, you know, the form realm and formless realm we're talking about. So these things are based on the karma that where you may born, and also based on the cause and condition of your own action of the Buddhist speech mind of the time or of the, your previous life, which may causing and collective karmas and conditions that put you in a certain level of your next rebirth. Like we say, you do things good in this life, you will have the result as a next life, if we say like that. If you put the seed now, in few months, in few weeks, you will have the result, right? Likewise, this all based on cause and conditions and where you be, like you born in a human being and I born in a human being realm. But none of this is we choose. It brings us here by karmic connections, karmic forces. Likewise, same level of that, same thing very much, roughly. We can still talk this in future. Well, these are really a big subject.
Yeah. Just for myself, are the three bodies something you always have, or is it something I'm born in, I have a desire body, I'm born in samsara, and I'm hoping to become born in a form realm?
Later? Yes, yes. This is all different stage. Different it's stages. Almost yep. like okay. a different levels.
Yep, okay.
Yeah, all based on your practice as well. That is where I say cause and condition of our activities, of not only this life, but many karmas ahead in. So all collective energy and connections.
And just so I can understand kind of what it is we're getting at, if, say, Asabigamo is, would you say that she is of the form realm?
No, Sibijamo is very different. Sibijamo literally means the queen of existence. Sipa is existing. Jalmo means a queen, in another words. So she is known as, we call also, a Machik Sibijalmo, the only the mother, the single mother of this universe. So therefore it is known as a queen of existence. And according to Bun, she is in a different forms. So this Sibijalmo, how she appeared here, is a black mule, but there is a red mule, there's a different manifestations. So here in Sibijalmo, in a black mule, is manifested as a chief protector of the whole teachings, spirituality. Huh? And then also, she is a chief of the protecting Bun teaching, Bun practitioner or yogis and follower or devotees. So here is her in appearance. It's a purposely as like a manifestation in order to protect the teaching and the practitioner and the devotees by as a Sibijalmo, we call a Sungma, Tensung, likewise. But in her level of reality, she is a wisdom deity, we call it, Ishechila, means enlightened deity. She is no more connected. She is not on the any one of these sort of realms we are talking about. She's beyond.
I guess I thought, and I'm clearly confused, but I guess I thought, desire beings lived in samsara, and then form beings were like
All are desire being, form and formless beings. All are connected on samsara.
Okay.
But Sibijalmo is above.
Okay.
Anyone who is known as an enlightened one, the Buddhas, female Buddha, male Buddha, all these different form of the deities in a sangha, esoteric one, the sangha, we call it tantra in the Sanskrit. All these enlightened deities are beyond this worldly life.
Okay. I think my confusion dealt with, I guess I thought that the three worlds connected to, the Nirmanakaya, Sambhogakaya.
No. Okay. These are the very different. These are the three aspects of your own mind, nature of your own mind. And these are the three aspects of the quality of the your true nature state of mind. And these are the different reason, different purpose for on your own self as a result of the, your whole life practice and the past karmic, collected karmic practice, so on and so forth. So finally, when you attain to the so-called Buddha or enlightened one, you become Sangye. That ultimate nature of the true Sangye, you become primordial enlightened, Pungu. Primordial one. In appearance, you appear as a primordial physical body, that which is naked, dark. We call kundus, name of that very the name of that very form or appearance. We call a punku, means body of primordial ones for the self, to free you totally from the suffering and cyclic existence. Rangdoen de Pongu, to serve other sentient beings for other purpose, that is perfection body. Aspect, when you became Buddha, same time these three aspects is already perfected. But if you described differently, what is the purpose of three aspects of the appearance? The second one, for the benefit of others, for the other sentient beings. You know, when you have a, okay, let's say, we don't have a capacity to receive direct teaching from the primordial Buddhas. But we have ability to have received in certain level of your realization arise. We have possibility, but if not, we have a sort of connections through our visualization and from the very beginning of preliminary practice, from the perfection body, which is Buddha of compassion, the Shenla Ogar. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yeah.
And Buddha Tomba Sherab also, there, it is also in the perfection body form. So we have somehow, indirectly, we have ability to connect. But that is actually for the purpose of appearance in this form is for other beings, for the benefit of other. Then the third one, Tulku, manifestation body, body of emanation. That is none other than nature state of mind, its own aspect of the energy or manifestation ability, but out of that true compassion manifested second Buddha form, now of that is for other being purpose, so it manifests now, and now that is coming different teachers. Manifestation of Buddha, when we have no karma to meet directly to the Buddhas and teachings, receiving from them directly, and this second Buddha, the Longje Dzogchen, the perfection body, it's making us to have that opportunity in a different form of themselves, so they appear in the form of teachers, different form of teacher, different form of yogi, different form of manifestation as per accordingly the needs and circumstances. So the tulku, hundreds of tulku you manifest in a different form. Therefore these three aspects.
So
Sibi Gyalmo is one of that as enlightened deity, so it's beyond all these are Nyange Deva, means Nyange means suffering. Deva means cross, above the suffering. So means they have no suffering because they are absolutely freedom from the suffering. Therefore, we say it's absolute happiness. Once you attain that enlightened state and you become discovering the absolute freedom and absolute happiness. So they are totally above the suffering.
Okay, thank you. I've been going around thinking those two things were related. But
no.
Okay. Maybe you can talk a little bit about the nine ways of Bun, and perhaps I believe we're being taught from the Southern Treasures. Can you maybe talk about the difference of what that is too?
Yes, I think we have three sources. The teaching normally we say, especially we call this nine way Tigbari Bagu, nine way call or nine ways of Bun. So essence level, it should not contradict each other because all are Buddha's teaching. But the place where it is being what you call discovered. So we have this southern and the northern and the center one. So other than that, so as we say now Thigpa Rinpo Gu, most well known is what you call the nine ways. If you divide it in two major groups, so maybe first four, from one to the four, we can divide it as a causal vehicle. And the remaining five in one category, we can say it's a tantric level. But if you make it in the tantric level, so then we can make two main category. So we say the tantric level in general, and the highest, most, or great secret, That is Dzogchen. So either three or either two, we can divide it. First, for why it is named as a causal level. Chashen Thigpa, Nangshen Thigpa, Sishen Thigpa, Chanang, 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 Tul, Chashen Thigpa, Nangshen Thigpa, Sishen Thigpa. So these are four. Because these all are not necessarily as such a huge tantric or Dzogchen that is complete teaching carrying on. But these are very much, each of these practices are very much directly connected in our day-to-day life. How to help, how to guide, how to cure, how to clear the obstacles, how to cleanse the blockage, how to help to get healed, how to purify the negativities, impurities. There are sort of things, minor things are there, which we even physical as a human being, ordinary physical, this flesh body, I cannot see. But they are existing things, these are. So these are very effective. Because Buddha Thongpa Sherpa's teaching are based on compassion, wisdom. Means only to benefit, only to serve sentient beings, or only to help sentient beings, ultimately to totally free from suffering, relatively to help as much as per our capacity of digestion, of understanding. That is, you know, that is where often I also tell, people ask, what is burn? I say, well, many people think it's a strictly dogmatic sort of religion. You know, you just believe in faith, no reason what you have to believe because you are told to. It's not like that. Buddha have never said that. Buddha have never says with no question you just have to believe. He didn't say that. He very clearly mentioned in one of the very secret teaching of the Chama. You know, Chama, we have very variety levels. The quotation is very clear. He says, what was the quotation? Anyhow, I don't remember exactly word to word the quotations, but meaning was he's saying, don't worship my teaching because it's I say so or because I'm a Buddha. My teaching is meant to be analyzed. Means you check. You check in a certain way by your study, by research, by experimenting your own practice. And then use your intelligence and logic. If this all his teaching, the master's teaching, word, which is meant to be delivering the Buddha's teaching, and your intelligence and karmic concept, when it connects and making you sense and understandable, then there is a way you should start it. That is where you are supposed, that is where you begin from. Doing that doesn't mean keep only asking, but it doesn't mean only believing, blankly believing. Believe, but study, educate, analyze. But educate, study, analyze with belief, with devotion. So this should not go, conflict each other. You know, sometimes I understand very much in the West, if we say, okay, you meditate this and that, and it will give you this and that, and it will be helpful. And they say, how should I know? You have to build up that capacity by practicing. If you have an orange juice in the package, so it's very easy to check whether this is organic or chemical or pesticides, yeah. Pesticides or whatever, how long. Everything is written down there because this is something physical and material and a raw that you could grasp on, because it's all external and material. But we are talking about something more internal, right?
Yeah.
That very internal is not something we can see everyday life like we through eye, but more we have to go yourself deep inside, where you feel, where you raise your inner awareness. That only happens when you follow the what is being told to practice, guide. And through that guide, you reach and connect and you experience. And that experience will actually develop your valuable questions. And that experience developed more devotions. That experience confirmed your practice to the spirituality, believing, trust, and so forth. So these things are something you have to go together. Can you say parallel?
Yeah, parallel. Yeah.
Parallel, you know, not only one side.
Yeah.
So if you're going to stick only on one side, then you will not reach to there. Okay, first I want to know, make sure. People sometimes feel they are very brave. Say, I want to make sure I'm at the right place. How you could say this teaching will lead you to the Buddhahood or this teaching will not lead you to the Buddhahood? How you could say that? In order to know about Buddhahood, oh, this is yes, you will reach there, Buddhahood. How you could confirm? Have you been there before? Have you ever experienced and discovered your true nature state of mind? Have you ever experienced what is truly meaning of Buddhahood? But you all are dividing, what you call, explaining or try to grasp everything very based on your own capacity of judgment, ability of judgment, even not ultimate judgment, ability of your judgment according to your limited capacity of understanding. For that, you have no other way than to devote an effort or practice. If you don't get, then they should have a question. Why I am not experienced? Why? Is this teaching not suitable for me? Or I am not doing correctly? Or am I not yet in this stage? Do I have to start from somewhere else? So these things are very important to know. You know? And these four causals is the way to benefit in our everyday life. Through these benefits, it meant to lead you to the deeper and broader, farther distance to get more and more, because you are now sort of experiencing, if you do put your effort and practice, there is chances that you can gain something beyond your everyday ability of material function or relatively functioning. You know, so these things, causal. This as a cause of this practice, fruit brings you to deeper understanding. Fruit brings you to open your inner spirituality. Fruit brings you to see how look things positively and to connect deeper, and joy sort of you are built through your experience. Therefore, as a cause, then you go for further. Then it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. That is what the burn is. So, conclude explanation of burn, it's very much the burn teaching is. How it's actually a way of your life. Way of life, how you live. Quality life, meaningful life, I mean. Then you can say you are burn devotee. You can say you are burn practitioner. You can say you are student or your teacher. If you don't have those things, you are still not yet there, actually. You know, so that is what is burn. Short form, simple way, if you say. But then, yeah, different on the level of teachings. So each of these nine ways, and these nine ways, categorically, the teachings are divided in do, nga, sim, though it's more philosophical and more physical level, discipline level, though it's all this philosophy, you know, the 10 transcendental parchinchu, in Sanskrit they're called prajñana paramita. It's actually wisdom we're talking about, wisdom and morality and wisdom. And talking about according to sutra, do. Actually, literally, do means kind of text, which details you about.
Yeah.
And through that, divided these three texts, what you call do, nga, sem, three different capacity level. The first one, do, should be the little bit lower capacity who understand more of physical, more of questioning, more of reason with the logic. Why you think the other side of the mountain there is possibility of fire? Oh, I think because the smoke arising from the behind from this mountain. So there is a very good reason, because the smoke comes from the fire. Smoke doesn't come from a cup of coffee.
Right.
Smoke only comes when there is a fire, isn't it? So likewise, this kind of reason. Why do you think everything is impermanent? Well, everybody, impermanent. Everybody easily say, means they say, one day we all have to die. That's impermanent. But in sutra text, it's not simple that way. Each moment of moment, try to realize the impermanence in you. Not in the brain, but inside. Brain talks to you about intelligence. According to intelligence, you say, sun rays, sunset. Season change in a year 4 times. Younger dies, elder dies. One way or other, everybody have to die. These are very external and very, surface level talking about the wisdom of impermanence. But that doesn't help us to understand impermanence when it directly experienced in your own personal life. You're not ready to accept and acknowledge. If you have experienced someone of your loved one dying right now, you will have that knowledge any help, because you even don't think about that knowledge of impermanence. That moment, why my brother, why my sister, why he is young, she is young, he is good, she is good, why she have... It's not a question of that, right?
Yeah.
So our knowledge doesn't help. The surface level knowledge... You know, when you swim in the beach, on the surface level, you cannot judge the depth of the world under the ocean. You are still surfing on above the ocean, but you can't say, I know about the depth of, and I know the detail of the world that is underneath ocean. We have no idea. Likewise, surface level of this intelligently knowing impermanence is not helping you to realize the wisdom of let go, wisdom of impermanence. No, what we have to get is impermanence inside. So it's very much like that, you know. It's meant to go through logic, questioning, and that question needs to have touched in and that implemented, and look at and experience, discover through these. So the do, actually, in what I'm saying in these 9 ways of teaching, if you make 3 major categories, so then we can say category of do, which is more philosophy, which is more of the philosophy of the logic, actually, logic concept, and with all this, and more of discipline, more body, more of the structure, more of your life, bound in the discipline, what you can do, what you cannot do, how you should do, how you should avoid. Always try to apply for one to rid of it. Like physicians, when you have a strong pain, they give you painkiller. But painkiller is not for the healing from the pain, sources of the pain, but temporarily preventing or feeling of pain, right?
Yeah.
After the dosage power is over, 5 hours or 6 hours or 4 hours, pain starts.
Yeah.
Because you have not cured. You just prevented, feel the pain. Pain is still existing inside. You are not feeling it. Huh?
Yeah.
So it is very much like that. Surface level understanding is not good, but you have to awakening from inside. So through these, there is like a philosophy now. We have all these logic studies we do. It's all for that, to get deeper. And then when you get well experience, well knowledge, sense, then you have a capacity to understand or to go further. So then we go to the nga. Nga means sanga, sawa nga means secret, advanced, higher advanced teaching.
Okay, real quick before we go into it, is the do, is that one of the nine ways of Bun, or is it kind of mixed into the last five?
No, it's all connected. Collectively now it's divided in all teaching one way or other. It's connected in the three categories.
Hmm? Okay, it's not just like the fifth way or anything.
No, like this. So when we all teaching, we need to be categorized, mm-hmm. You know, because Buddha have different teachings. Generally, he gives one overview, and then people get little idea. That very general overview became particular, and then he became specific. You know, that's how he trained and how to develop it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
From the very beginning, first four teachings, you know, it's a major, like divination, astrology, astronomy, rituals, clearing, mountain, prayer flag, and so small offering. When you get know more and more, and you get interest to know more, you get feel that there's something more, and you feel that comfortable, devotion, trust, and you feel like, oh, there's really further, and there's, oh, the teaching is this. Then you will have more. Because do is not in this do category, it includes many teachings.
Okay.
Monks, basically monks, and then all this logical philosophy practice we do now, dialectic school sort of like.
Yeah.
And all this process, and then lay life practitioners. There are many other practitioners for lay life as well, because it needs to be disciplined in our everyday life. Discipline is not taking right yourself away. The discipline is putting you in the shape. Like if your body is not in good shape, you have to discipline what you eat. You have to discipline how much your activity or movement is. You have to be careful with all this, and so that you will not let gain more and more, and you become very funny shape. So you, in order to bring the shape your physical body, you have to have a discipline and structure. Likewise, when our inner quality is not being healthy emotionally, to shape, this is the true inner disciplines, body, speech, mind, and there are certain practices. Which practice will help to mind to make in a good shape? So you become mentally healthy, naturally, physically healthy. When you grow up in that level, then you go further. It's only mental healthy is not the aim. Huh? You need to be free from the suffering. In order to free from that, you need a much more advanced teaching and the techniques, efforts of your practice, but the techniques what you are going to practice has to be much more and broad and generated more capacity of your understanding. Then that we call sangha, the esoteric or tantra in Sanskrit. Means now, before, though we were very much try to understand everything is by name. And then we try to, if something is not under control by those concepts, so we put always an antidote more powerful than that. If your fire is burning, you have to put more water on it to off the fire. Mm. If you have a strong pain, according to the pain strong, energy of the strength of pain, you have to dosage increase for the pain relieving. Same. If you are very much hungry, you have a bigger portion of the food. If you are not so hungry, you have a small. If you have a digestion problem, even if you like it, you should not have much, because you have to be careful with your digestion. Mm. So everything has to be accordingly. So in Tantra, it explained, meant your digestion is healthy now. Many you have a capacity to digest. Many you have capacity to understand. And you are fully there to allow this spread. So that we taught, not antidote to suppress it. We use that very energy in a positive. It's like a recycling. Instead of throwing the garbage for no use. So we collect it, recycle it, use that same thing, same way, but recycle it. So that very same thing we are using the same way as before. The capacity of that mental capacity is well developed. So your perception is going to be very positive and highly developed. And then your mental capacity of understanding and viewing outworld is very, very different. Your capacity of inner space much have broader capacity. The more space you have in the room, the more people you could fit. Doesn't matter which country from, anybody can fit there, right? If you have a space enough. It's very much like that. The higher you go, and then that is more of now inner, the what you call Tantra is more, we can say, the of course the mental and the concept, but also channels and the chakras. Because channel and the chakra and the wind, Tsa Lung Tigle, we call Tsa is channel, Lung is the wind, and Tigle is the essence, subtle essence of the energy, potencies of our true nature. So these things now, different way to, the different approach than the sutra, different technique than the sutra. So it transforming this now. Instead of anger to put some antidote and to not to let you stand up, you use different technique. That anger is not poisoning you, disturbing you, rather it is, you are using it, a certain technique, it became protective energy. Not a destructive energy, protective energy.
Okay.
So likewise, you are physical. Like we are practicing Red Garuda, Chumar. Chumar is practice of Tantra. The reason, therefore, I am emphasizing to put focus of each beat of this truly and genuinely. Once you get that truly and genuinely experience through this Chumar practice, Red Garuda practice, the method of how to apply, how to transform, is the same in every practice of Tantra. And when you get further advanced teaching of Tantra, you have a very, very easy and very good reason and to acknowledge it, connect it, easy to understand. You can say, oh, like you reach in the same city that again, where you are very familiar with. So the Tantra is more like that, transforming. So everything what you have, nothing is useless.
Can I ask a question about that? So in general, just kind of recapping, Indo, you know, you're learning how to recognize being angry, and you're learning antidotes to apply to it. If you're a tantric practitioner, you already know how to kind of deal with that anger in a certain way, but now you feel anger arising, and instead of letting it control you, you use it in a practice. So you might allow some, say I'm doing Red Garuda, I might allow some of that anger to come through and use it as a...
You don't need to allow anger to come.
Okay.
We wish that no anger arise at all.
Right.
To not to arise anger at all, then you have to have a certain practice capacity. When you are trained well of your mind, you are fully qualified how to control your mind, because you are well trained. If you have a well trained, you have a well capacity to control. If you have a capacity to control your anger, even if this energy is rising, you will not anger manifest it. So anger will not affect nothing. So if you have no capacity, anger arises as a human being, an emotional being. So according to your capacity of understanding, according to sutra, you try to avoid. Mm-hmm. Okay? Person who bother you most, you try to see, you try not to see, and you try to all your effort to avoid as much as you could, so you don't get to see that person and bothers you. But the Tantra says, well, you look very, very differently than running away from the poison, because that is your own energy and you cannot run from your own self. Yeah. So what you do is, okay, when you are anyhow accidentally you meet with a anger, somehow it arises. According to the Ngak, what you do is that you use the technique of that anger is kind of itself not being a destructive energy, but it became more protective energy, and you could transform it in practice. So you look better way than the sutra.
So it's like you can recognize the energy of the anger, but it's not affecting you in any way. You're not actually...
Yeah, because you're not taking anger as an emotional anger. You're using anger that way. Anger is energy.
Sure.
Okay. All these five poisons are just anger, energy, right?
Okay, that makes it...
So you make that energy in a positive way than the other way around.
Yeah. Okay.
When you let it arise, then it goes according to its own way. That is more ignorant level. So Tantra will make you that... Because Tantra, number one, of course, in order to do that, we have to study, we have to learn, we have to get teachings from Master. So when you begin to understand this all, and when you are now engaged in the practice of Ngak, accordingly Ngak, Sangha, then you say, oh, if you mindfully there always try to practice it, then you say, oh, that naturally gives a sort of quality, naturally quality. You have no fixed time, say, okay, from here to here, I have time for my attention on my anger, so I don't let, from 9 to 10, I will not let my anger grow. It's not like that. Once you have sort of raised the awareness of what is the source of anger, how anger it affects, and what it truly is about, who is this manifesting, and so forth. There's many techniques, right? So then when you have all these kinds of reasonable or logic methods understood, then you have a kind of confirmation of your own self, anger source, anger's result, anger's who is about, identity, and anger's result, how to make its result dissolve. So that you apply for. So here now we talk about more deeper than the physical and the discipline. Here we talk about more in the nature, how it is, who it is, as it is. Understand? Yeah. And then we, when it anger arises, we simply like a bypass. Mm-hmm. You know, when airline is landed in the airport, from the first minute till you are parked at your gate, when it run through the airport, you will have a short glimpse of all the buildings, mm-hmm, and the cars and the people. But you don't get attached or non-attachment or reaction to any of this, because you are not even holding anything. You're just viewing. We're just overviewing. Boom. You don't keep hold them. Mm-hmm. When you don't pay attention on each and grasp, it doesn't help. It doesn't defect and both help side. Like that.
Okay.
When you know how to anger arise, because there is a seed to arise, but anger will not affect you because you know how to deal with that, how you look into it. So the transforming these concept and energy, that is what we call. And then part of the Dzogchen is even much more same anger. Even they try to put effort of transforming Dzogchen, you get very highly trained your mental capacity of understanding. So you, because one thing, you know from Dzogchen perspective what is anger is. nature of the anger, causes of the anger, result of the anger, how it moving, how it functioning, who is functioning, etc., etc. When you go deeper like that, such a capacity of knowledge or wisdom you have about the anger, and so say confidently, just leave it as it is. So means, just don't bother. Anger arise is simply one kind of energy arise. When you don't run after that energy, simply runs. You know, when the water is flow in the pipe, metal pipe, that will not injure to the pipe where it is going through. Right? But you feel at the tip, if you put your hand under in the winter, if it is too cold, then you begin to feel only when you touch the water. Likewise, if you don't touch it, you don't get your hand so-called the feeling, you don't. You're sitting next to doesn't injure you, doesn't affect you. It is very much, Dzogchen just leave there. And when you don't do nothing, the concept of being water, existing cold, naturally has no value and no meaning. Doesn't affect you. Having inside doesn't make you different. Make it effects when you begin to grasp it accordingly, your emotional level, then it begins. So Dzogchen is leaving things as it is. That is what we call as it is. Don't, you know, sometimes we say, don't bother me, let me alone, leave me alone, isn't it? Yeah. When you say leave me alone, means you just want to let this all go down. If somebody is explaining, clarifying, arguing, it increases more and more, it doesn't go slowing down. When you are quiet and, this, you know, the sort of like a frequency of each energy has a length of life. When you leave as it is, and after a certain point, the frequency, the pressure of that energy is going to weaker and weaker and stimulating somewhere in your another part of energy. And then if you go, that person's mood is changed. That person's reaction is changed. Thus, that person became different than that 1 hour before. Yeah. It is, so this teaching of the burn, it is really, it's a how to shape your quality of life. It's more than religion. It is strictly, it's how to make your life meaningful and a better life. And that means, if each and every one put effort, it will be the better world. That is the what the Buddha Thubha Sherab's teaching of 9 ways of burn is for. Regardless of your nationality and gender, it's to everyone. Whoever is open there, it's everyone for.
Thank you so much, Rinpoche.
You're welcome.